Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a short series of studies which we are going to entitle The Ministry of the Holy Spirit, and especially the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us, His own people. We're going to cover the study in three lessons and use some very important prepositions. First of all, today on the broadcast, we will consider His ministry in us. And then on the next broadcast, His ministry to us. And then following that, His ministry through us. The Spirit of God is that third person of the Trinity. And He is equally omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent with God the Father and God the Son. There are no imbalances in the Trinity. They are arranged this way for this is a functional order. Because the Father is mentioned first does not mean that He has indeed any preeminence over the other two members of the Godhead. It's a functional order, and that order is wonderfully brought and preserved to us by the Spirit of God and His ministry, and we've all felt it. I have felt it in my own life, and I'll venture to say that the hearer, as we go on through this series of studies, will see and identify with my experiences and the experiences of others with the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, His ministry in us brings about the conviction of sin. I think that was probably the first time that we felt the influence of the Word of God. We became convicted of our sin. Perhaps we did a sin, and our conscience convicted us, and our conscience will convict us. But the Spirit above this convicts us of our sin. We read this in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. Let me read it, please. There we read, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." The Lord is just about to leave His disciples. And He is indeed very concerned about their welfare. It is indeed expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, or the Divine Parakletos, the word Comforter here is capitalized, it's the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now notice, please, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. Now this word reprove here, in verse 8 of our text, is really the word convict. The translations of the scriptures today, the word convince is used instead of the word reprove. And in the New International, the word convict is used. He convicts us of our sin. Now, this is very important. If we are not convicted of our sin, if we see no need of a Savior, then the work of Christ will not take on any deep significance to you and to me. We need that conviction of sin. We need to realize that we're sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He tells us that in His own ministry. He came to seek and to save that which was the lost. And the Apostle Paul speaks of himself as the chief of sinners. He came to save sinners. And you know, if we don't have that conviction of sin, then the cross won't mean much to us. But the Spirit of God gives us that conviction of sin. And that's the first step in our salvation. His ministry to us is to bring us to the point where we're anxious to hear about Christ. Anxious to know that sin won't keep us out of heaven. Because we're conscious of it. Now, we all experience this. I'm not talking to people that have no conscience. You have a conscience. I have a conscience. But the Spirit of God supersedes that conscience in bringing before us the fact that we're sinners Now he, when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now notice, please. Of sin, because they believe not on me. I think that probably we can classify that, and I don't think many of you will disagree with me, we can classify that as the chief sin of all the sins we can commit. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. How can a person be more cruel? How can a person be more absolutely set against God than to refuse the gift of God? Refuse the one that God sent into this world to die for our sins, that we might go to heaven. Now that is just exactly what the Father did. In John 3:16 we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And certainly that rejection of Christ is the greatest sin. It's an insult to God, because God gave him to us. Suppose that we just wouldn't receive the gift. If a person goes to great cost to furnish you and me with a gift, and we turn it down without any explanation, how does that person feel? He feels like the cause is lost. You know, I don't think that I can say that about God, and I do want to make a comparison here. Think of how God feels when we turn down his Son, whom he sent into this world to be the sacrifice for your sin and for mine, that we might, that barrier of sin might be removed, and that we might go to heaven. How wonderful that he did that. And he is in this world to convince this world of sin, because they believe not on me. That is the cruelest thing that we can do to God, is to refuse his Son, or to ignore him, which is in fact, in a sense, a refusal. And then he says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He substantiated his claims because he went to his Father and they didn't see him. There was no tomb. You do not go to the tomb of Christ. Perhaps you can go to the tomb of Mohammed, but you can't go to the tomb of Christ. He's risen from the dead. And certainly he has convinced us, the Spirit of God convinces us, of the absolute righteousness of Christ. Christ said he was going to rise from the dead. They laughed at him. They sneered at the Lord Jesus Christ. They held him in contempt. And they even set a watch around his tomb to keep the disciples, they thought, from stealing away the body of Christ and claiming that he rose from the dead. But he did rise from the dead. And of righteousness, because I go to my Father. He rose from the dead and he went to his Father, just like he said he would do in the 14th chapter of John, that wonderful chapter. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, the prince of this world is Satan. He is the god of this world. And God has judged that powerful angel. That angel that was the most glorious of all the angels. He was the chief of the angels, I verily believe. The scriptures will bear that out. Now, Satan got an unholy ambition to set his throne above the stars of God. And he fell. His own selfish ambition. I will. And he says, I will. Five times he says, I will. Not what God wills, but I will. And certainly he indeed has judged Satan. Now what of us? He won't have any trouble judging any man that rejects him. And he says, I have many things to say unto you that you cannot bear them now. And he says, now howbeit when he, the Spirit of God, of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, he brings Christ to us, and he puts his life within us. Now, the Spirit of God makes Christ plain to us. He's the interpreter of the scriptures. He wrote the scriptures, and he interprets them. And he reveals Christ to us in the scriptures. And then the moment that we see that Christ was on the cross for us, and we accept it, and are convinced, and have the peace about the fact that our sins are really paid for, the Spirit of God has done His work in that respect. He indeed brings Christ before us, and the moment that you and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, now don't ask me how He does it, the Spirit of God takes the life of Christ and puts that life within you and within me. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is all dealt with so beautifully in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Of John's Gospel there, where the Lord Jesus Christ meets Nicodemus. You know, the Nicodemus, that wonderful ruler. I admire Nicodemus. He was an honest man, and he came to Jesus by night. And he had some questions he wanted to ask Him. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto Him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now the water here is the Word of God. It's not baptism. It's the Word of God, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, when we believe that Jesus died for us, the Spirit of God puts the life with Christ within us, and we are said by the Scripture to be born again. As we were born into man's family, so we must be born into God's family. And then we read in His further ministry to us in Ephesians chapter 1, and also in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 19, that Spirit, His presence within us, is the guarantee, is the seal. We read in Ephesians, in whom ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, if you please, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. The Spirit of God within you and me as a Christian is God's guarantee. He says by that seal, this property is mine. And we read in 1 Corinthians 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. How wonderful the ministry of the Spirit to us. He seals us. That's a guarantee that we're going to be in God's heaven. Father, we pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus, increase our respect for the Lord through the ministry of the Spirit. We pray in His name. Amen.